We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. You see the story? You can find it at KMOX.com, and other news agencies have been reporting this. It talks about the tiny home that was stolen, and they're still looking for it. And I heard it run on the news on KMOX in the afternoon, how there might have been a sighting. And this has been popular online, too. People have really rallied behind this stolen tiny home. And if you don't know what a tiny home is, it's a quote-unquote movement. You see a lot of people get into this sort of thing, where they build a shanty on a trailer bed to try to skirt the laws. I'm making it sound so glorious. All right, so people decide to do this because they like the idea of, yeah, I might be able to live on 200 square foot of house where it's very compact, not much to do, as in you might get a bed in there, you might get a tiny kitchen, you might get a tiny living space. But the idea is, hey, you can downsize your living. That would have an impact on the environment, a positive impact. You don't have to pay rent because, you know, in this case, what was it, $20,000? It took a couple of years to build this thing. But, you know, she enjoyed doing it. It was more of like a hobby that was building up to the point where she can live onto this thing. And, you know, I guess you could hook up plumbing. Some of them have enabled that. Others haven't. Like a lot of the tiny homes I've seen, their toilet is a bucket that they spread little pine leaves over in order to make it so it doesn't smell. You know, so I was like, eh. Not the life for me, but they are loving the idea of, oh, I'll go on a nice piece of property and I'll be able to live rent-free. I'm not going to have any obligation and I'll just, you know, do whatever I want in life. You know, if you have, the only thing you have to do is provide your own food or whatever, hey, you can work a job that you want to work and then have really no worry in the world to just sit back, relax, and live off the land barefoot. And I don't know. It's appealing to some people and not to me. I thought it would be fun to build one just to learn how to build one. If there was some sort of class where you can take and, you know, you put one of these together and then at the end you donate it to charity or whatever, you know, I'd consider doing something like that. Not that I'm always looking for ways to do manual labor. My wife would argue that I'm always trying to find ways out of doing chores and, you know, honey-do list stuff around the house. But I at least am appealed to the idea of learning on a small scale how to build a home, and that would be entertaining. Hopefully they find that tiny home. Yeah, and the reason why they build it on trailer beds, it kind of helps skirt a lot of the laws, as in, you know, there's some structure obligations and different things you have to do to get permitting or whatever. I don't exactly know what the laws are, but when you build it on the back of a trailer, it's movable, so that kind of changes some things. However, it's meant for you to park it, not necessarily permanently, but park it in one space as opposed to you carrying it around like an RV or whatever. But still, I don't know. It's not for me. Now, when I saw this documentary on Mashable, they've been doing a documentary series talking to different individuals. And Katie and Tom bought a houseboat 12 years ago. Since then, they've had kids, two of them, that they've raised their children on a houseboat. I don't know how you'd raise a kid on a tiny home. I don't know how you raise kids on a houseboat. At some point, doesn't it seem like you're just fooling yourself? Because there's a difference between saying, and I did this for my podcast earlier today, but there's a difference between saying, yeah, it's not the best situation, but hey, we're having trouble financially and we don't have to pay rent there. And it gives us opportunity to save up our money so we can buy a house or, you know, get out or whatever it is. And then we can get ourselves out of the hole and we could be financially responsible from here on out. Nope, they just prefer to live on a houseboat. It's not a situation where it's a necessity. They just prefer to do it. It might have turned into a necessity because they've undercut themselves so much that they might have priced themselves out of anything else they can possibly do at this point. Here, let me play some of the clips here. And Katie's given a tour of her houseboat.
I'm Katie Saunders, and I live on this boat with my husband and my two children.
Two young children.
And we live on the Grand Union Canal.
Grand Union Canal. This is, I think, over in the UK, outside of London. They say it's too pricey to live in London.
Before I was pregnant with my son, We did a lot of work on the boat. We had the boat taken out of the water, chopped in half, pulled apart, and we had another 8 foot welded in so that we could get more space. And
a whole 8 feet. Wow, you really, really outdid yourselves. So think about your house and adding 8 feet. You may think to yourself, yeah, I guess it would be nice, you know, but you'd probably be wasted space in the size of a house. But when you add 8 feet and it's only maybe like 5 feet wide, yeah, you know, 40 square feet, it's not really all that much, you know? It's not going to add, it's not life-changing amount. Plus, it's still a boat. So I'm sure that 8 feet was helpful, but it doesn't make it into a mansion by any means.
Continue living on the boat with children. And when we did that, we redesigned the middle section of the boat so that we could have an extra room and a corridor. And we've made, well, I mostly made the bookcase when I was pregnant, and they love that. In fact, it only ever gets shut just before someone new comes around.
Okay, so they're like showing this, and they're making it sound like they're multiple rooms. No, it's the same room. Like, here, I want to show you our living space and our corridor and our hall room and our toilet and our kitchen. Oh, it just happens to be the same room. It's like all right here. Everything is right here. They have one of those deals where it's kind of a bookshelf that separates the front and the back end of this houseboat. And it's also a door. So you have to be crafty. You have to be able to know what you're doing in order to make your space as efficient as possible. So I don't know. Let me ask you this. Maybe I'm just being too hard on these people. Maybe I'm just being really hard. I feel like they're just fooling themselves, right? They have to try to justify in their mind why this is the best thing that's possible. And people do this on different, you know, some people do it in relationships, like you're fooling yourself into thinking why you should stay with that person, and everyone knows, like, it's an abusive relationship. Why do you stay with that person? Oh, they'll change. You know, it's that same type of mental philosophy. Stop fooling yourself. At some point, you got to say, no, maybe I don't want to live on a houseboat for the rest of my life with my husband and two children, because when they get a little bit older, yeah, they're going to realize this is not an ideal situation for us, and they're not going to want to live there either. Well, let me continue this.
Well, they pretend that they don't have a bedroom before that happens.
Oh, great.
So this used to be our bedroom.
You know, every kid's dream not to have a bedroom. Whew.
So it's the biggest space in the boat, but we realized that our bed fits in what was the nursery, so we've squished ourselves in there and given them the most room. And because you've got gunwales that go round the side of the boat, you get extra space, which is much more useful to them than to us. We're lucky because we have this space outside of our boat, and this is what made it really appealing.
It's called the outdoors. So they're living on the water and they have this dock. They're like, oh, we have this wonderful space outside. AKA, it's not your property. You don't own any of it. It's just basically the grass outside of where you're docking this houseboat. And they're like putting all their personal property on this area that is technically not theirs. They're like, they're putting chicken coops and things up. Come on now. Am I just being too hard?
It's not just us inside the boat. So when it comes to the spring, just come outside.
Oh, great. That's the solution. Feeling a little claustrophobic on the houseboat? Just go on outside. Oh, look at that. The world is yours. Wow, you can't feel claustrophobic out here. Oh, look at all the great space. Oh, my goodness. So what you're saying is in order to prove to yourself that you have more space, you have to go to a place that's not yours, kind of like, you know, they're homeless for a little bit, and then they just have a place to sleep inside of a boat? 314-436-7900 if you want to talk about alternative living. Do you have any alternative living spaces or things that you've seen? I'm always worried about the situations when we go visit other people's homes. My wife, and part of these mom groups is that she gets to meet a lot of these other families, but you meet them in a setting outside of the home. Does it ever make you a little bit nervous when you show up to a house you've never been to before and you don't know what to expect? And not that we keep our house clean like it's the, you know, Buckingham Palace or anything like that, but you ever walk into a house too and this is going to sound really mean and judgy, but you're thinking, you knew you had people coming over. Could you have done something here? I can't be the only one that feels that way. That's Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, that was awesome. Way to go, Kevin Killeen. upping the Christmas liner game on Camo X. Did you hear that one? Oh, I loved it. Oh, that was neat. I got a couple of car stories for you. I saw this posted up earlier on CBS News. You know what's coming back? Suicide doors. I've always wanted to own a car with a suicide door on it. So they'll make a comeback for the 80th anniversary of the 2019 Lincoln. And it's going to be a limited run of its Continental sedan with the iconic doors that are hinged from the rear rather than the front. If you don't know what a suicide door is, it might be an age thing. A lot of kids my age, but if you're under the age of 30, you probably have never seen them in person. I'm going to guess that even most people under the age of 40 may have never seen a car with them in person. Honestly, I've never seen a car with suicide doors open before. I'm sure I've seen cars with the doors closed, but man, I've seen them in pictures, and I thought, oh, I'd love to get a vehicle with this feature. I don't even know how much it would cost to convert a car to do something like that. Because the doors, it says coach doors, so-called because of the danger of opening them while the car is moving, harken back to the famous 1961 model of the car. Lincoln will put only 80 of the vintage-style Continentals, which will debut in a holiday party in Brooklyn before going to the auto show in Detroit. The company said the cars are scheduled to be delivered in June 2019 exclusively in the U.S. and will sell for more than $100,000. Another limited run will set to come out in 2020. Are there any car guys out there? Can you even buy a car anymore? Are there any other cars out there that have this sort of door feature? I've seen some of the Teslas and some other cars do the wing doors like the DeLorean, and that's kind of cool. Even I don't think I would ever buy a wing door car. It's just not for me. It looks cool. I've always wanted to own a DeLorean. I thought, you know what? If things go great here at KMOX and I'm making a bunch of money or whatever it is, yeah, one day I'd like to buy a DeLorean just to have it so I can complain that I drove down the road and the thing broke down. They were notorious for breaking down. Oh, man, it's a terrible investment. But still, thanks to Back to the Future, I've always wanted to own one. Every time I've seen them, too, you can't really adjust the seats, which is a problem for me. Basically, I barely see over the wheel or whatever. These things, your bottom's basically on the concrete. You're sitting on the ground. But still, I want one. Ugh, and they still sell them. You know, a company out of Texas. I don't know if it's Dallas or Houston or whatever. But they bought after DeLorean went under and they were liquidating all their parts and pieces. There's a company that swooped in and bought all of them. And they basically continue to make DeLoreans, brand new DeLoreans out of the spare parts and all of the parts that they bought down there. So they want to make them authentic. They want to use all the original parts. Obviously, there's certain parts you can't get anymore, so those parts can't be original. But for the most part, it's like a truly authentic DeLorean. And you just have people creating these things and selling them down there. I thought, man, that would be cool. So Lincoln bringing it back. Only about 12,000 Lincoln Continentals were sold in 2017. That's less than a third of the peak of its sale in the 1960s. Only 12,000. If any car guys out there know, if there are any vehicles that you can buy today with the suicide doors, or maybe you can get them converted. Man, I've always wanted that. Maybe one day. Again, it's just going to be dreaming. Maybe one day in the future. You never know. Maybe things go crazy. there's another story about cars in the news, and you may have seen this one too. Oh, the number, if you want, even if you just want to text it, 314-436-7900. This one is from The Blaze. So a mega church pastor over in Greenville, South Carolina, is facing backlash for buying his wife a Lamborghini Urus for their 8th wedding anniversary. Lamborghini Urus, retail price $200,000. This is a pastor of a church. So in a video that went viral, Pastor John Gray, the leader of Relentless Church, was giving his wife the keys of the luxury vehicle as she screamed in joy, as one would. But what this is weird, isn't it? Tell me that's not questionable use of money that's given to a church. If you're going to that church and you're giving your tithes, you're giving your offerings, and you found out that the money was being used not to the mission of the church, but to buy the pastor's wife a $200,000 car, tell me you wouldn't be very upset. They are not being good stewards of your money. And honestly, it's means for you to leave that church. You should pack up and say, I'm not under the right leadership here. If this is where they put their values, this material stuff, nope, I'm out. This is big red flag. You can go and talk to the pastor if they refuse to talk to you and hear your concerns. Just leave. Go somewhere else. I'm telling you, it's not worth putting your eternal soul at jeopardy to be pastored by someone whose motivations are for these worldly stuff like $200,000 cars. Okay? So let's see. What was the reaction? And this is from The Blaze, the write-up. Although some praised the pastor for giving his wife the expensive gift, others saw it as too decadent for a church leader. The video clip and photos celebrating it going over and over and over. Charlotte Observer has been covering this out there too since it's in South Carolina, Greenville. It says, Grain is the same pastor who originally drew praise for allowing members of his congregation who were down on their luck to take cash from the church's offering baskets. Gray's also stars in a reality TV show on Oprah Winfrey's own network. He was previously associate pastor Joel Osteen's church in Texas. So when church becomes business for you, as in you're using it as a way to profit and make good for yourself, man, that's something else. This is just totally unnecessary. Oh, and then in exchange for their 8th anniversary, the wife gave the husband an $8,000 watch. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm going to get back to that in a second. I want to get to Charlie real quick, who's calling in. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Okay, to answer your question, the Ford Motor Company only made the Lincoln suicide doors for 6 years, from 61 to 66.
Were they the only cars to have them?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Really? That's a...
Yep.
I loved them. They looked so nice.
You can still get them.
How?
Go into your when you go into a grocery store or your gas station, get an auto trader. Flip through there. They're in there.
So you're saying some dude somewhere in a garage may have retrofitted his car with the suicide doors?
No, those are factory built.
So you can still factory build as like a request?
Well, if you go through a company like Peterson's and go online, Google Lincoln,
yeah,
and then read up on it, and then in there they'll tell you where Lehman Peterson's body specialties.
Oh, so these body shops are the ones that are doing it. So they'll purchase the cars and then they'll do it at the body shop.
No, Lincoln built the suicide doors on their Lincolns.
Right.
But if you want one to be that way, most body shops will do it.
Oh. Okay.
They will.
I'm confused. So hold on. This is where I'm confused. So you purchase the car, you take it to a body shop in order for them to do this, or do you purchase it from like a dealer and they go to a body shop before you take possession of it?
Okay. Say you wanted a 61 to 66 Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Go into your Auto Trader magazines down there.
Uh-huh.
And look for 61 to 66 Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
And they made them from the factory that way.
Okay. So you're saying just try to find a car that already has them and then take it. If it needs some sort of repair, then take it to a body shop that let them fix it up for you.
Exactly.
Oh, so I can't believe they were the only cars to have that. Man, those are iconic. How much do one of those go for anymore?
It depends on condition. Anywhere from $1,200 up to $5,000.
Really? That's not bad. So Lincoln Continental, what year? 1960 what?
1 to 66.
All right. What would the gas mileage on something like that be?
Oh, about like Cadillac and the Lincolns of today.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look one up and see if I can find it. You know, you have me interested. I'm looking right now on cars.com. Oh, man, there's
No.
Where should I go?
Lincoln. Just type in Lincoln, 6166 Lincoln, and you'll have the whole history on it.
Oh, no, I'm talking about trying to find... I'll pick up an Auto Trader. I'll see if I can find one. All right.
Right.
Well, this
or
could
you
be
can
fun.
Go online and locate it under there.
I don't know if my wife would approve, but I want it. I've always wanted one of these cars.
If you got a friend of yours somewhere, you can hide it back there.
Honey, why is our savings account drained? Oh, don't you worry about
it. Well, it depends on how much the person wants. You can hide it somewhere nearby that your wife won't know about it.
Well, she's going to know what I'm spending every weekend in the garage repairing this thing. Every time something goes wrong out on it. Yeah, that'll be fun. Oh, you gave me an idea.
Take a look at the Kennedy limo.
Yeah.
That'll show you right there. Now, as far as the the DeLorean, mm-hmm. Bricklin also came that way.
Which one? Who came that way?
Bricklin.
Bricklin?
Yeah.
Is that a brand? I've never heard of Bricklin.
Yep. Just like DeLorean. Bricklin. They had gold wings.
Doors. I see them now. Yeah, I guess they look very similar. They almost look like a Corvette and a DeLorean mixed together.
Or, in this case, the little Opals of the 60s.
Yeah. I'm not impressed with the wing doors like that. Even though it's kind of cool looking, I wouldn't want to own a car like that. I prefer I've always wanted to get the suicide doors. All right. Well, Charlie, thanks for giving some backstory there.
And Mercedes-Benz also came out with the gold wing doors, too, back in 59, 58.
And I know you can buy the conversion kits. I've seen people attempt to do that.
You can do that on your regular four doors too. You can buy the conversion kit and have the body shops flip them for you.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great night. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's just about anything you can do. See, here's Lincoln Continental. Oh man, these things look cool. I got to look up the gas mileage on this thing. It can't be good, but it can't be any worse than what I'm getting with my GMC Envoy. So my wife will say, so what is this rated for child safety if we, you know, get into an accident? Be like, well, it's solid, so we got that going for us, but it's not like you're driving a Tesla. This is Overnight America, KMOX. I have to stop looking up cars in the studio now. Maybe I'll just settle with buying a Lincoln Continental sales brochure from 1966. Maybe I'll just have to settle. All right. You and I both know I'm not going to buy a Continental. I would love to, but just makes you wonder, why didn't they make more doors like that? Just so cool looking. All right. Welcome back to Overnight America. Got a couple of streaming and entertainment video type of stories for you. And I found this one a little fascinating. You know how much money Netflix will be spending to produce 90 movies? If you're a Netflix subscriber and you pay the $9 or $10 or whatever it is to get monthly access to Netflix, aka you just go on to watch old reruns of The Office over and over and over and over again. New York Times profiled Netflix original movie chief, and they said that they are going to reportedly be releasing about 90 films a year. 90 films a year with budgets ranging from $20 million to $200 million. Okay? That's very expensive. They're going to be spending a ton of money. Budgets up to $200 million per movie. I was watching some interview series. You know how much if you get like a David Letterman or a Norm Macdonald or something like that? They'll spend $2 to $5 million per episode on just simple interview shows. Just we're talking a studio, two people talking, no special effects, no filming anywhere else. It's the simplest thing you can ask for. And still you wonder and you scratch your head, how in the world does that cost $2 million to produce a half hour special or whatever it is? It's something that can get very pricey, but Netflix is just tossing money out, just like here's a handful of cash thrown it at you and says, you know, here's your money, go do what you want with it. Because they just need to create original content. And it works for them. They have created a lot of different original series that have become popular for them. You know, until your star on that show gets caught having some kind of sexual advancement on a kid or whatever it is that Kevin Spacey was accused of. Yikes. And then the whole show gets burnt down. And then, you know, same thing happens with any other television show. But on Netflix, they have some of the most popular shows, and they keep getting nominated for more awards for their original programming. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that you see these independent companies coming in and trying to make their way through when there was such a stranglehold in the industry when you saw Hollywood and, you know, traditionally how you'd put out movies. They had their own issues with Harvey Weinstein, and still, don't get me started on that, too. But then you get the Hulus and you get the YouTubers and things. They're putting some really original content out there. They might not have the exact same budgets, but still, people are consuming the things they're putting together. So Netflix is increasingly betting on big names to deliver. One of their biggest names that they continued to bet on was Adam Sandler. And every time Adam Sandler came out with one of those Netflix movies, they're like PG-13 or whatever. And they were fun to watch. You know, they weren't bad. They weren't really dirty. You just watched it and you're like, oh, it's Adam Sandler. And it would get terrible reviews and everyone would hate it. But it was like, I don't know what you expect. It's a free Adam Sandler movie that you can sit back and enjoy. You're not looking for a cinematic masterpiece. You're just there for the ride and some of the jokes. But here's some other stars. Meryl Streep, Ben Affleck, Eddie Murphy, Sandra Bullock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and other famed directors such as Martin Scorsese, Steven Soderbergh, is that he say? Michael Bay is in there, Del Toro. So they're buying the big names, and they're hoping that they get more and more subscribers. So Netflix reportedly has 7 million new subscribers in their third quarter, blowing past their expectations. Wow. If that means they could see about $8 billion in original content spending, that's how much money they're making. Well, think of it this way. In a quarter, if they gain 7 million new subscribers, 7 million times 10, so 70 million a quarter just from new subscribers. Yeah, any company I think would be happy to gain about 70 million extra a quarter on top of the other tens of, I don't know, how many other subscribers they have at Netflix right now. It's a lot. They ain't messing around. You know, there's an other thing here, too. And some companies online are starting to toy with this idea, and this is terrible. So the TV industry, they're faced with competitors like Netflix. They're faced with competitors like Hulu and Crackle. And, you know, there's all these other companies that are trying to get their name out there. But another one that they try to compete with, well, is themselves, and they keep doing stupid things like this. So this week, both AT&T and Hulu unveiled their latest innovation in delivering ads that users didn't want. This is according to TechDirt. Ads that run when you press pause and leave the room. So normally, if you're streaming something online and you press pause, it pauses the video. They said, oh, this is a great opportunity. Well, you're not in the room. We're just going to start playing ads. And, you know, that'll count for us. You know, we got 1 million extra ads played by press. You know, how much extra money they think that'll make it. How annoying is that? That you can't even pause a show without an ad playing after you've watched the ads. Ugh. They call it innovative. Ooh, innovative. Here, let me read this little statement that came out. It said it should start sometime next year. AT&T also hopes to use the pause to lend new momentum to TV advertising. The company, which owns DirecTV and UVerse, expects to launch technology next year that puts a full motion video on a screen when a user decides to take a rest. It says, we know you're going to capture 100% viewability when the pause and unpause. There's a lot of value in that experience. 100% viewability. Meaning they know if you press the pause button, then you already know, since you already pressed the pause button, you know that some person was there to press it. So there is someone staring in front of a TV screen at that moment. Man, that just seems so lousy. Can they just stop with the ads nonstop? Forcing additional advertising on customers already annoyed by high prices, they say, is a way to, well, I don't know, not win back customers you may have lost. Because we know some of these companies are losing a lot of customers when it comes to this sort of thing. So apparently this is going to be AT&T, UVerse, and DirecTV doing that. What do we have here? Oh, we have DirecTV. Oh, here in the studios. Maybe we'll be able to see it for ourselves. See, I got CNN on right now. Let me press pause on CNN. So one day I'll hit pause, and instead of it pausing, and I get to see their goofy faces that I paused, there'll be an ad that plays. Oh, man. You know what the weird part of that's going to be is they're going to have to be sending data to your receiver in order for you to play something at that point. So I wonder how often they're going to be forcing data down to your receiver, which not only will slow it down, but may even clog it up. So if you already had issues with space on that receiver, oh, good luck. They're going to be downloading more and more content onto it without your permission and taking up more space that's probably taken away from things like your DVRing. That's wonderful. All right. Coming up next, I have another thing I wanted to get to. How about one more TV story for you? One more Netflix story for you when it comes to YouTube and how that is continuing to grow. This is Overnight America, Camo X. Overnight America, we continue here. And I wanted to have some fun in the next hour with some Tell Me Something Good stories, some really good ones we can share. I had a text message. It was, have you seen the ads playing within a show as part of the script? I didn't exactly know what that person meant by it, so I texted them back. There's product placement. A lot of television and movies will do that. Oh, here's an example. Okay, so the person just texted here. For example, two characters in the first season of Lethal Weapon were talking on the phone. One was in the office. The other used a hands-free call in a Chrysler. Then while they talked, the character used the video assist to park the car. They had a few shots of the steering wheel controlling as she talked. Had a couple of close-up shots, the back of the vehicle, a couple shots of the Chrysler logo. Oh, so that's what you mean by that. I thought first they were talking about how ESPN and these different companies have the picture-in-picture. I've seen that becoming more popular in live sporting events. So you're watching Major League Baseball. If they're doing like a Sunday night game on ESPN and you're watching the Cardinals, they'll show the batter's box or someone warming up if it's a TV timeout. So they'll still show the feed from the field, but then they would show the commercial and play the audio of the commercial on the other video that was a larger video. And I thought, oh, maybe he's talking about that. Yeah, product placement is pretty popular too. They'll pay big bucks to get their product in front of you inside of these different movies. Of course, there's been some really popular ones over the years. One that comes to mind is E.T. with Reese's Pieces. What a big promotional campaign that was for them. I know that originally the movie went to, I think, M&M or something like that and asked them, hey, can we use your product or would you like to have us use your product? They said no. So then they approached Reese's and they said, absolutely. And man, look what that did for them. Put them on the map. And sometimes those product placements really work. Sometimes they're really blatant. So the fact that this listener who just texted in to bring up the example from that Lethal Weapon television show, sometimes they're just overly blatant. And you're like, okay, fine, we get it. Chrysler, whoever the company was at the time, they probably paid you $1 million to put that quick little 30-second scene into your television show. I hope it was worth it. you know, that drives the creative people crazy. You know, the people that are producing that show are thinking, great, you just took another 30 to 60 seconds away from something I already had a hard time editing down, and now I have to show them parking a car. Wonderful. I got to waste time on this. You know, I guess if that's what it takes to stay afloat. Some shows, network shows and other types of shows, that's like the only way they can afford to keep the show going. That you have to sell that sort of time. So, But no, I see what you're saying there. And if you pay attention, you'll see those things. Specific products, like American Idol's very well known for having, what was it, the Pepsi can or the cup? Some of those reality shows, they'll have the soda cup right in front on the, and the big logos right there on the television. So, yeah, of course they're popular. And then you'll see everywhere. Well, how about just, you go to a Blues game, you'll see all the advertising on the boards. It wasn't always like that, but they realized, oh yeah, product placement. Well, that's not necessarily product placement, but you know, I get their logo in the background all the time. Okay, here is something I was reading from VentureBeat. And it says, every day in India's capital, New Delhi, executives at Netflix are scrambling for new strategies to court this audience over in India. Their CEO, Reed Hastings, who has identified sleep as the biggest competition to his service on multiple occasions, wondered out loud if the next 100 million Netflix subscribers are in India. They may be, but YouTube has already claimed them. According to this article, they talk about how YouTube, the company that's owned by Google and people produce content online, It's free for you to post whatever videos you want. People can watch whatever videos you put up there. Some people make a business out of it, so they're able to sell advertising on those videos, or they're able to do product placements or endorsements or whatever it is. And they post this up, and you know, if you can have YouTube as a company put ads on your videos in order to try to make some money, it's not really a lot of money. And you know, you have to be in the range of making, you know, millions of views to make it worthwhile on your channel every month. And barely anyone could do that. So really, if you put a video up, like just if anyone were to put a video up, if you got 100 views, that would be impressive, you know? If you were just someone that no one knew and you just randomly put some kind of video up there. So they realize that there's this untapped market. YouTube starts marketing to India, and then they send all their stuff. And this is something that a lot of people online have been paying attention to, because the company has been stacking the deck in order to force people in India to try to sign up for this stuff. So it's like they're forcing the hand. And this is kind of a sad thing too for a lot of the creators that are already on that platform. So you have people that are popular and they're creating these videos, and it was financially stable for them to create these videos. And then YouTube keeps changing the game on them. I should just call it Google at this point. So Google keeps changing the game on them and making it harder for them to make a living. And they're pushing out people that are these independent producers, independent content creators. And what they're doing is they're bringing in more professionals, like the late night talk show hosts, for example. You get the Jimmy Fallons and them just posting videos of themselves doing their little bit that was aired on the TV onto that platform. And then they give preferential treatment to these top-end personalities because, oh, you know, it's people are recognizable because of that. And the people that were already on that platform upset about it. Now they're finding out that, oh, forget about this. You know, if you're not a big-name star that's on TV right now, or a movie star like Will Smith who's putting videos up on the YouTube platform, then we're just going to go to India because we're going to put all of our attention out there. And let's forget about all you guys, little guys, which is kind of a bad thing. There's been some really great producers on that platform that have been pushed out of it. I like YouTube myself. I like watching these videos of these creators. You know, I don't like the idea of them always struggling. You know, there's other ways for you to support these creators, and I know there's a lot of people that have done that sort of thing. So this is kind of where we're at right now. It says, Indonesia, YouTube reaches about 74 million active users each month. Google revealed at an event an increase of over 50% year to year. Thailand, YouTube reaches 92% of rural users, 93% of urban users. Since I think one of the main reasons YouTube is so successful in emerging markets is that it is more mobile-centric. Short-form video lends itself to mobile viewing versus long-form. And it continues to grow. I know a lot of people have been talking about that, but when you got tens of millions of people, perhaps one of the biggest advantages YouTube have over Netflix is because of its catalog of available users at no cost. Speeches, C-SPAN posted videos up there if you want to watch governmental things, U.S. daily talk shows, you know, TED Talks, whatever it is. You know, if you want to go post videos up there, you could. So, but don't ever expect to make money off of it. And if you are making money off of it, it's not going to last for long. Kind of a bummer in that sense. All right, so coming up in the next hour, we're going to do a thing called Tell Me Something Good. You may have heard of this segment before. And man, I have some good stories for you from earlier tonight at the Holiday Radio Show. I already played some audio from the Holiday Radio Show, and we'll do that again maybe after 2 o'clock. But, oh, was that fun tonight. I just really, really loved it. And hopefully, if you made it out there, maybe we can even talk to you about it, too, in the next hour. But still, I have some other great stories to share. 8-year-old saves his mom. Police donating stolen consoles to local area children, which is cool. St. Louis resident winning on a scratcher. Yeah, I didn't know they had $5 million scratchers. Whew. The other day, I was driving and I saw a guy on a bridge scratching lotto tickets. And I thought, that guy's got a story. Too bad I'm not Kevin Kline. I just can't pull over and ask him questions about him, right? That's totally a Kevin Kline type of guy he would be able to solicit for a whole nother story. And another big kudos to Kevin Kline. What an awesome holiday radio show that just happened tonight. Oh, was that so good. I guess that's going to be replayed on Christmas Eve. So if you missed it, you're going to have another opportunity to hear it again soon. And I think they'll post it online too. But if you got a good story you'd like to share in the next hour, we can start taking some of those at 314-436-7900. or 800-925-1120. You can text them in, too. I'm going to try to get through some of these text messages that just came in. You're listening to Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.